You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 8. On with us today is minimalist blogger Jess Carpenter. I absolutely cannot wait for Jess to share her insight with us into her ethical style, how to ease into a lower waste lifestyle, and how a little preparation can go a long way.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate Meg Ross will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hi, Simply listeners. I'm here today with Jess Carpenter. She is the woman behind the blog Jess with Less, a blog filled with compost cocktails and ethical fashion. She shares tips on zero waste lifestyle and intentional living. She is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to reducing excess in our lives, and I can't wait to pick her brain about all of the things. Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So to kick things off, will you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to start the blog Jess with Less?
So I currently live in Baltimore, Maryland. I've lived here for about a year. We just bought a house, about a year ago. Currently renovating, but I kind of really got into like zero waste minimalism a few years ago when we started to want to pay off all of our debt. So that kind of led to me wanting to live more simply, which led to wanting to simplify the waste. So it kind of all spiralized out of just trying to get rid of the debt and then just live more simply that way.
Awesome. And something you share a lot about is your wardrobe as well. So for people who are interested in getting started with the ethical wardrobe, what did that process look like for you personally?
So it's been a huge evolution because I used to sell vintage clothing and I was really, really passionate about it and convinced that would be, you know, my business one day. And I think I kind of hit a spot where I started to simplify it, even just the colors that I wore. I really kind of simplified, and then I realized it wasn't a part of me anymore. So I kind of evolved from a very colorful, wide range of outfits to just having what I need. And I found it's so much easier for me to get dressed with a simple wardrobe. And I kind of had to change that too based on what my job is, what my everyday is, what I'm comfortable wearing, what I actually wear. I find really listening to what you wear and how you feel, I think that really matters. You know, I wanted to wear heels, but I don't feel like myself wearing heels, so I don't wear heels.
Yeah, I agree. I as well kind of, I'm fairly new to the whole minimalistic wardrobe, and I started kind of with food and transitioned into my wardrobe as far as simplicity and minimalism goes. And I've definitely noticed a change in my own style and how I curate it. Before, I just dressed for comfort, and I find that I still want to dress for comfort, but when I have less clothes in my closet, all of them are kind of stylish and comfortable at the same time, which is just awesome.
Yeah, I think that by listening to what you do, like what your lifestyle is and how you feel when you dress, you kind of like push away like what you see, especially with like Instagram and Pinterest and all of that. Like you really see how people dress and you're like, oh, I want to dress like that. But then when it comes to what your life is actually like, it might not fit in with that. So you really have to like cater to what you're actually doing and what you're actually comfortable with, because I think you can balance comfort and style for you, and it doesn't have to be what everybody else's looks like.
Yes, I completely agree. And also when people think, who aren't really familiar, think about ethical or minimalist fashion, I think there's a really specific idea in their head of what that looks like. And where I love your wardrobe because you do the ruffles and lace and, or, you know, not to sound like a pirate, but you have a really great eclectic style, I feel, that's not just super, you know, kind of maybe the stereotypical wardrobe that somebody would think of when they think, you know, quote, ethical wardrobe.
Yeah, I think, I mean, what I do is I balance out my secondhand with the ethical fashion because it can be pretty expensive. And for like most people, they can't afford to like fill their whole wardrobe ethically. But I kind of like backed away from like that vintagey style for a while. And I found I was really missing it. And I'm like, wait a second, why do I have to be that? Like, just wears a black plain t-shirt and black pants and a black purse, black shoes. Like, why do I have to wear that? Like, I can wear ruffles. I don't have to have 37 ruffle shirts, but I can have a few. And, you know, depending on the day, like I might just want the black shirt, but some days I want the ruffle shirt too.
Exactly. And it's all about that, like you said, dressing for your personality. What are some ways that you feel like you invest in your clothing more now that you have less? So maybe not just a financial investment, but do you find that you take better care of your clothing? Are you able to repair it yourself? Or what does that look like now that you're focused on fewer pieces in your wardrobe?
Yeah, so especially with like vintage clothing, if anybody's ever collected vintage clothing, it's always in need of repair. And I had, I mean, bins, like 3 bins full of clothing that needed a button fixed, a hole repaired, a seam repaired, and I never got around to it. And now, like at the end of the season, whether it be winter or summer, you know, I'm washing in like the white delicates all together, washing them, taking care of them, putting them away, mending the wool sweaters, and really, like, I almost don't have anything to wear if a piece is broken in any way. You know, I have a pair of jeans I wear all the time, and they were broken. I'm like, holy crap, I have to fix them now. I have nothing else to wear. So it does really, like, force you to fix it and kind of take ownership of it, which I love, like, putting life back into my clothing and it being something I love and cherish and I take care of and repair and extend its life. I think it makes the pieces more special and you feel more special in them, especially knowing that you're the one that fixed it.
I completely agree with that. Transitioning away from the wardrobe a little bit, something else that you really focus on is reducing your plastic waste, which I think is so awesome. And something that I think people who are focused on a minimalistic fashion don't always transition into the zero or less waste living. And I think that your blog does a really good job of just all encompassing kind of all the different aspects of your lifestyle that can be simplified. So to touch on the plastic a little bit, when did you first decide to commit to using less plastic and why did you feel called to do that and then to share that?
I mean, it was a few years ago. I got introduced to Bae Johnson. I think the Mind Palace too. So it's Jessica Lynn Williams, and I always forget the other girl's name, but she kind of helps out the minimalists do their social media page. But she started talking about zero waste, and that kind of like sprung me out of the topic. And then Trash is for Tossers was also, you know, kind of like almost newer into the scene. And I just like loved the idea of creating less trash. And I, you know, realized like how much trash we had been creating as a society. And I was just blown away with that. So I'm like, I'm going to do the best I can to create less trash. So for me though, what really like for sharing part of the question is, I'd always been wanting to put out a blog to share my ideas. You know, I always have friends coming to me asking me tips about whatever the heck it is, fashion, you know, decorating. And I'm like, feel like I have a voice that I want to share. So actually this year I decided to take my Instagram seriously and really, you know, create content and create tips for people that are relatable and still aesthetically pleasing. And I feel like realistic. And I'm having a lot of fun sharing ways to save on waste and also make it pretty.
Right. Yeah. And that's so awesome. And I think your Instagram, it just lit me up when I looked at it because you do such a great job.
Thank you. Of
giving people, you know, actual tips. Like, and I always value people that share about their lifestyle and more simplistic ethical lifestyle. But something that really caught my eye about your blog is how the tips you use are so applicable. And you did the 10 zero waste habits that save you money. And something that was so funny I thought about that and kind of touches back on that plastic waste that you were talking about. It was a statistic that said millennials spend more money on coffee than their retirement plans.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I had a lot of fun doing those. That was when I kind of like, I knew I needed to gain like, you know, a following and I needed to provide something that was valuable to people. And I know like, for me, money is like you're hitting them where it hurts. And money is always like something people want to like save and find ways to reduce, you know, spending money. So I had a lot of fun researching each topic and coming up with like a different way that would be saving waste and saving money. But yeah, that one is nuts. And it's just, yeah, coffee. I used to work at Starbucks and I never go to Starbucks now. It's so expensive.
It is so expensive. And I like on your blog, you do definitely still get your fair share of coffee, which I appreciate because I do as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we travel, we have a separate coffee budget. It's like probably equal to the amount of money we spend on food, which is pathetic. But, you know, and I depending on if we're like road tripping, we'll bring like a giant gallon of cold brew. But when you're flying, coffee's expensive. I can't imagine buying it regularly every day.
Yeah, me either. I work from home now, which I have found has saved me so much money because when I was working out of the home, same thing. I was getting coffee all the time. And obviously at that time, I wasn't even considering really sadly the waste that was factored into it. But I did notice how much money I was spending.
Yep.
And that's something that I really like to just how you touched on how you can connect with people from a pain point, like, you know, you can save money and you can save the world kind of thing by reducing how much plastic you use. I think that that's something that I try to do too with my clothing line is just showing how awesome it is that dressing with less and simplifying your life really does help, at least from my perspective, helps me as a human being to feel like I have a more positive outlook on my own personal life. And then I also feel good about how I'm positively contributing to society and, you know, to the environment.
Yeah, for sure. And I think for putting yourself out there, and I had a worry in the beginning that like, was my, you know, my point of view valuable? Like I found like with the comments, like so many people are unaware of certain things and unaware of the money they can be saving and unaware of like the impact a certain thing that they're doing has. So I think everybody's voice matters because we're all like, for me, my purpose is to help the environment and to bring awareness to waste and, you know, like living a more simple life because of the benefits that it gives you. So it's like, put your voice out there because you're going to help somebody out.
Completely. What were a couple of the things that you first did when you were reducing your waste? And as somebody who is aspiring to plastic waste specifically reduce, my husband and I are actually moving in 2 weeks to our first home, which we're really excited about. And I'm using that kind of as a deadline for me to really start fresh with my waste, especially like in the kitchen and in my toiletries. So I was just wondering if you could share a couple of tips on easy ways to reduce some plastic waste. Maybe let's start with in the kitchen and your food.
So one of the things we had stopped getting were paper towels. That was one of the first transitions. We purchased secondhand towels. I was able to find like 10 big ones or like, you know, matching ones. They were just small hand towels. You could even get like a tablecloth or bigger towels and cut them however it may be to clean up messes. So that saves you money and then of course saves you paper waste. We did invest in some nice glass containers instead of using saran wrap because that was another thing, saran wrap or foil, which I don't also buy either of those things. I find I can make do by either getting one of those silicone cookie sheets or I just, you know, put a little bit of oil on the pan. Those were some big things kitchen-wise. I'm trying to think what else kitchen-wise. I mean, those are your big ones, like your plastic wrap. The food storage is what a lot of people use a lot of ways because they're using sandwich bags and plastic wrap. So just finding the alternative to that. There's beeswax wrap that makes a bees wrap. It's a beeswax coated cloth, and that can, you know, hold like half of an onion and it'll keep it fresh. You can even wrap herbs and cilantro in it. You can wrap a sandwich in it instead of the plastic wrap, and then it ends up being used, I think, 1,000 times, and then a sandwich bag, you know, can only be used once or twice. So over time, you save a lot of money.
Yes, that's something that I've noticed too. You know, I pack a lunch for my husband for work, and he's just, I don't want to be stereotypical, but kind of the average guy. Like, he just wants as least work as possible. He just likes the plastic bag because he can throw it away. And I think a lot of that for us is just going to be habit building. Like, I totally love the bees wrap and I want to try that. And then just getting in the habit of just, you know, returning it every day and getting in the routine. I think that that's something when you're reducing waste, especially like in the kitchen and in your bathroom, the convenience of, you know, all of this packaging and this prepackaged stuff, it just makes it so easy to just use once, throw away. And I do think that that's a new mindset to commit to just slowing down and taking the time to do some of these routine things in a more sustainable and ethical way.
Yeah, you can't be like zero waste. Like, you can't cut plastic like cold turkey. It just, it's not going to be practical. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to feel like you have nothing to eat because everything's wrapped in plastic. So it's, I think it's important to slowly incorporate these new things into your life. You know, I used up my Saran wrap, which took me probably like a year when I had it, but you know, and even with fruit, you know, I still occasionally will buy strawberries in a plastic clamshell. I'm luckily able to recycle it, but there's still things that I end up buying in plastic because it's something that I want or whatever it may be. But I'm not going to like guilt myself into like, oh my gosh, I created plastic waste. Like, let's not see zero waste as a guilt thing. Let's do the best we can and improve upon it. There's always room for improvement and creating less waste, but even a little bit does matter, and just kind of keep evolving from that, you know, making the step to carry a fork with you and to say no to, you know, the lid and the straw, at least if you go to Starbucks. So that's two pieces of plastic that you're not taking. It's just baby steps to kind of get to that and build the zero waste lifestyle.
Yes. And that's something that I talk about a lot too, because I think it's really important. And I think the idea that you have to do it perfectly or you can't do it at all is something that stops a lot of people from even trying. And I'm guilty of that as well, you know, trying to approach a life with less waste. It seems so challenging in that there's such, you know, a right and a wrong way to do it. But like you just mentioned, I agree that any step in that direction is really important, and just reducing one or two aspects of your life where there's a lot of waste, I think can make a really big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
So you talk about when you're traveling, you bring your travel kit with you, or you have like a little kit that you bring everywhere you go. And could you tell us what is in that and why you started to bring that along with you?
So I typically have a cup, a straw, a fork, and chopsticks, just because I love Asian food. So I eat that a lot. But I probably was carrying it around by themselves for like the past 2 years. And then I did go to the package free shop in Williamsburg, but they sold a little kit that you could put them in. It's this like perfect kit. I photographed it a couple times on my Instagram, but sadly the person that makes it doesn't make it anymore. So honestly, like, you could get like a pencil case or even like a nice sock. I know that sounds kind of funny, but just something to put it in, just so it stays clean. But that's really like my everyday go-to, is like at least have a fork and a cup. Like, the most basic way to save a lot of waste is just have that fork and a cup, because you can do anything with either of those things. I've even put leftover food when I go to restaurants, you know, with family and friends. And I know I'm a very small eater. I eat like a little bird. So I always have leftovers, and I just throw it right in the cup, and then probably like an hour later, I end up finishing it. But otherwise, I would have to get a takeout container But that cup works just fine. Just throw it right in there.
I love that. I think that a lot of like what I'm hearing is that I'm not doing that you are doing is just you're prepared, you know, like you just take a little bit extra time, you prepare these things in advance. And I know I'm not traveling to anywhere fancy, but I'm on the road a lot. And like you mentioned, it's so easy to just, you know, stop on the road for food and then that's all waste. But if you can bring some things like that along, you can totally cut it down.
And I think once you make it a habit, it's not even a thought. Like, I don't really ever think about that I have, like, a fork in my bag and, like, it's a thing. Like, it's just, it's in my bag. It's my wallet, you know? Like, it's as normal as my wallet being in my bag. And I'm like, if I don't have it, I'm like, oh my gosh, where is my fork? What am I going to do? Very rarely I'm without my fork. And then it's like, you know, really hard because I'm like, crap, how am I going to eat? But I think once you make those habits, they don't seem like anything else. They just seem like a normal part of your life and you don't feel like, I guess, weird doing it. It's just you have a fork with you.
Yes, and that's going to be me. Let's talk again. And
do it.
I have my fork with me and I'm going to do it. Something else that I've seen that you talk about are the five R's, which is something that I hadn't heard of before. I saw it on one of your posts, actually, and I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, so that is Bae Johnson. I call her the mother of zero waste. She, hers is at Zero Waste Home. She started the five R's, and that's based off of her book. So they are, it's like an upside down triangle because she kind of flips the way we think and she flips the triangle completely upside down. So it's refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, rot. The first one I think pairs minimalism and zero waste so perfectly. By refusing, you know, you're bringing in less into your life already. So there's less to deal with, less trash because you're not bringing it in. I just went to two events this weekend that had free t-shirts, free whistles, free tattoos, a goodie bag full of all this stuff. And I refused both of those things. And to be honest, I probably would have never worn the shirt and don't need a like light up whistle. I don't need like all these little freebies and business cards and all of that. So it was easier for me to just be like, oh no, thank you. I appreciate it, but I don't need that. You know, sometimes you get some weird looks, but I think the freebies are one of those things. Definitely refuse, you know, like samples. They always are giving you like decal stickers. So I work at an organic grocery store, and I see a lot of vendors like always offering like free hats and t-shirts. So I'm around that a lot, but I'm always refusing it because I'm just going to not end up wearing it. And then the next one is reduce. So you reduce your needs. Reduce what you need every day, like simplify your toiletries, simplify even the condiments that you need in your kitchen, the ingredients that you need, the spices, all of those things. By reducing that, then you're reducing the trash as well and reducing the amount of clutter. Because I feel like I have a hatred towards condiments because I just feel like there's way too many. And we can really simplify the amount of condiments you have and it makes your refrigerator just so cluttered and they end up shoved way in the back. So that one for me is like a great one to live by that also goes along with minimalism. And then reusing, you know, just use what you have. Wear those clothes more than once, more than, I don't know what the average time is. It's like, what, 7 times clothing gets worn and then tossed. It's just really crazy. I don't know if that's the exact number. I think I have posted about it, but I don't fully remember the amount.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's really sad almost. But yeah, have reusable items, reusable cups, not paper plates and plastic forks, which, you know, even my family uses that, which it's like crazy to me that people buy paper plates for their home and bring them in. It's just, I don't understand. But anyway, recycle is the second to last one. And that's very intentional because recycling itself is not really the answer to what, you know, the waste problem. Plastic itself cannot be recycled endlessly. It eventually becomes too weak to be turned into another product. So really like continually using plastic, it's not sustainable at all. So recycling should be lower on the list of what we're doing in terms of creating less waste. And then last is rot, which refers to like compost, which I'm a big, you know, living in a city, I live in Baltimore, I have a tiny backyard, but I'm still able to have a compost pile. And for those that can't get a compost pile anywhere, I suggest freezing it and then bringing it to a farmer's market or contacting local farmers or even like garden centers. They sometimes will take your compost because they do their own compost for soil. You just have to be creative and you can find ways to, you know, compost your food scraps.
I really like that. That's a good tip about the composting. That's something else I'm trying to get into. It's like once I started down this road, my eyes were suddenly open to all these opportunities there were to live more mindfully, really. When kind of before, I thought I was doing a good job, you know, and like you mentioned, I was recycling, I was doing this and that, but I wasn't, I was just kind of believing the lie out there, you know, that it's just, you know, all these things are made to make your life easier and it's a convenience thing. And there wasn't really, you know, much that my individual self could do. And looking back, like, that's just so sad that I felt that way for so long.
Yeah, I mean, we can't really get anywhere if we think we can't make a difference. So I think believing with your in yourself and being confident and not caring that that might, you know, like other people might think it's weird or think it's pointless or not see the, you know, value in it. I really do think it's valuable because I have, you know, just my friends at work, like, are starting to carry plastic straws and, you know, they're starting to, or sorry, not plastic straws, metal straws instead of plastic straws and starting to, you know, get reusable cups. I had a friend that had a bunch of questions on, like, what can she do? Like, what bag should she get? Like, how do you ask if you can reuse your cup? And are they going to think I'm weird? You know, a lot of people, you slowly branch out and people are going to start to ask you and do the same because, you know, they're inspired by it. And they, I mean, I think we all want to make a difference and we all want to help out, you know, the world. So why would you not want to do that? And I think one person can inspire so many. So just do it.
I agree. Yes. I love that. So the last thing I want to ask you is on your blog, you share a lot of compost cocktails. And I was just so curious about that and wanted to learn a little bit more of how you came up with that, where you get your recipes from, all of the things.
So I love alcohol, not too much. I'm not, you know, I love making cocktails. I think it's just something that's, it's a fun way to be creative. There's endless possibilities. I'm from Kentucky, so I love bourbon and I love gin. Gin, I don't think has anything to do with Kentucky, but bourbon does. So I kind of got the idea. So again, I work at an organic grocery store and we actually have, compost that we are allowed to pick from as employees. And so often, like, there'll be all kinds of, like, you know, imperfect produce. So one day I just, like, I think I grabbed, it was blackberries and some other herb. I'm trying to remember. Oh, no, maybe it was pear. I think it was pear and blueberries. I grabbed pear and blueberries and ended up making, like, a puree cocktail with it. And I was like, man, this is a really smart idea because food waste for me is one of those things that I'm also really, you know, I care a lot about because we throw away 40% of the food produced, which is just wasted work. You know, there are farmers that are planting, harvesting, packaging, shipping, and then workers that are then putting it on display and we're buying it and bringing it home. And all of this is 40% of it is ending up in the landfill. And that's just nuts to me. So it was, again, me putting a positive spin on a way of preventing food waste with things that are very common that go to waste. Like for me, I always throw away jam and I don't know how, you know, I end up doing that, but I find like you just throw a dollop in your shaker and it's going to like add a fruit sweetness to any cocktail. But it was just something kind of fun to, you know, create recipes. I haven't been doing it as much lately, which I need to bring it back because people really liked it. And I got a lot of really interesting ideas for cocktails. But I mean, why not combine two things together, like food waste and alcohol?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why it's just such kind of a fun idea, you know, and I was so interested in it. So I'm definitely going to have to dig into that a little bit more and see some of your recipes and try them out myself. So thank you so much for talking with us today. This has been awesome for me. I feel like I learned so much just from following you and, you know, following your lifestyle. So if other people are as interested as I am, where can they find you online?
So it's just Jess with Less on Instagram and then JessWithLess.com.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. You know where to find her. Thank you so much for talking with us, Jess.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest for less.